Today on The Breakdown, there's a play, a mythical play, a play we wistfully talk about, hope about, dream about. And it's a play where on the river, somebody bluffs, but bluffs in such a way that they have the raise is very, very small. Someone bets, I'm just making this up, $10,000. Someone goes all in for $12,000 total as a bluff. So it's just $2,000 more. And what a sick, incredible play that would be, and how we almost have never seen it. We've seen it a little bit now. When we see it, I think we've seen it like twice, at least in our for hands we've done. It's worked. Well, one of the times it's worked anyway. Well, here's another example of someone trying the play. Someone's going to try it, and they're not just going to try it against, you know, Lucky Chewy or, you know, Steven Silverman or something like that. Nope. It's going to pick a really rich guy to try it on, a guy with a lot of money who's less inclined to fold, perhaps, and certainly less inclined to fold a good hand. So is this just a straight-up car crash, or is this somehow twisted and brilliant? We're going to get into it right now on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey, first time, no rehearsal. I say, fuck,
who is Steven Silverman?
Steven Silverman is a guy who you would recognize. He looks a little bit like me. The name is a bit of a giveaway there, I guess. he used to play on the EPT. Played in the High Rollers and stuff like that. He's the guy who Negreanu famously opened the button, claimed he misclicked, but he opened the button with Ace King and Steven Silverman in a 100K High Roller, I think it was. There were two tables left, had King Jack in the small blind and went all in for like a lot. And Negreanu called and had Ace King, and then it was unclear if Negreanu had actually misclicked or not. And then Negreanu later on in the interview kind of made it sound like he didn't misclick, but claimed he did. And it was sort of an interesting little thing. By the way, an interesting thing to even talk about is, like, is that okay or not, and what we think about that. I have my thoughts. I'd be curious what yours are. But that's, like, the most famous thing that Steven Silverman's ever done, I think. I think he probably has won, you know, an EBT High Roller along the way, too. You'd recognize him if you saw him. He's good. Good player.
Yeah, I don't recall the name ever. I thought you were, like, misremembering Max Silver's name or something.
Nope. Steven Silverman, that's his name. I'm now clicking on his name, and he's got, you know, $3.2 million in live earnings and stuff like that. He won 100K in 2013, the Alpha 8. That was his biggest score, I guess. Anyway, really quick thought, though. So Negreanu makes it like 12,000 instead of 1,200 or something like
yeah.
that. I don't remember exactly, but it's something like that. When they're like 90K deep or 100K deep or something like that. And Steven Silverman has King Jack in the small blind and just goes all in for 100K. After Negreanu's like, whoops, oh boy. Oh, and it does his normal Negreanu laughing. And it feels very sincere
yeah.
when in the moment that he really meant to make it 1,200. Who makes it 12K when it's like, you know, 250, 500 or 300, 600 or whatever it was, right? And Silverman goes all in with King Jack. Negreanu snaps with Ace King, and there you go. Do you have a problem with either player doing any of the things they did?
First of all, it sounds to me like Negreanu genuinely did misclick.
Later on in the interview, he made it sound like he did not.
Okay.
That's what I will say. We don't know either way. He didn't say, he did not verify it, but he sort of like winked at the camera and he said, you know, you got to keep these guys on your toes. And
yeah, but he could have just been messing around
yes.
at that point, right?
He's playing
the cherubic Negreanu.
It's unknown, but let's say he did it on purpose because for the purposes of this conversation,
okay.
whether he did or not, because that's the interesting question, right?
I do not have a problem with it.
Okay.
I don't see any ethical dilemma there. It's
yeah.
a game of deception.
Right.
Fine.
I agree completely. Also, Steven Silverman is now trying to take advantage of the misclick
right.
by going all in and basically making it possible for Negreanu to call with almost his entire range. So I don't have a problem with Steven Silverman doing that either.
No.
I think both players are doing fine, and that's totally fine. But people have problems with Negreanu claiming he misclicked. Players did at the table. They thought that was like shady and not cool, at least at the time. They were like, well, did he really? And they seemed like to have issues with it.
It just feels like some old school honor bullshit.
They were all the kids,
I know,
too.
I know, but I think that's the same mindset. Like,
yeah.
what if you really dive down into it and look at it from first principles, what is the problem?
Yeah. Like when someone says, I didn't look, and they did look.
Like Tony G.
Like Tony G.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that either. Right. Like, it's your job to see if Tony G looked or not, and it's your job not to believe him when he says he didn't look.
Or just try to figure out what type of person they are, or just completely ignore what they say.
Right. Play your hand. That's fine, too. Like, Phil Hellmuth was like, well, then I guess I better go all in with this ace jack in a cash game, Tony G. And it's like, Phil, I mean, you did that to yourself. Like, sure, Tony G did that, and of course that's kind of on the line, but it's not deeply over the line. It's fine, and you fell for it. It's your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like poker needs more of that.
Yeah, me
that's,
too.
That's more interesting than, like, what is the GTO opening range on the button? I will open it to the exact same size at the exact same speed as I would open any other hand at all times. It is fun. I am having fun. Like, no, I'd rather have fake misclicks. That's better.
I played on Saturday, and a guy claimed to have raised preflop and without looking, and then bet the flop, I think bet the turn and bet the river, and claimed he hadn't looked the whole time. And his opponent, to his credit, was like, have you looked, though? But have you? And didn't know whether to believe or not, which is the right thing if you don't know the guy, you know? And the guy hadn't looked, as it turned out. By the way, the other guy didn't look either. This is a really weird thing that happened. So the guy who played against him also, like, if you're not going to look, I'm not going to look, called the flop bet, called the turn bet. On the river, there's four cards to a straight, right? It's it's 9, 10, jack, queen. This is kind of amazing. The first guy, the original raiser, bets $5. So he bets, you know, a blind into this, whatever, relatively big pot now. It's not huge. The other guy insta-calls. Doesn't look at his cards. Insta-calls $5, right? One guy's got the king-high straight. The other guy has the ace-high straight.
Really?
The second guy, the caller, had the ace-high straight. Had he just looked, when it's a free roll to look on the river.
Oh, he could have gotten it all.
He could have either folded because he has nothing, but in this case, yeah, he could have raised any amount and was going to get called, for sure. And instead it went, I mean, it's insane not to look on the river when you're calling, right? Like, why wouldn't you at least look?
Because you're there for stories, right. Not for money.
Exactly. Right. They're just there because it's just a funny thing to do. And then they looked, and then they eventually realized how big that pot could have really been.
Yep.
You know, played exactly that way. If all it takes is the guy on the river, the calling guy on the river, just to look at his cards first before he actually throws the money to see, like, can I even play the board? Am I even just playing the board here or what? Nope. He just throws the money in and they're like, let's find out.
Pure gamble.
Pretty crazy.
It was just pure gamble.
Cost him about $600. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are, like, to be clear, I think there are angles that are not cool. I'm not in favor of ubiquitous angle shooting at all times. Like, the stuff that Sam Sovril allegedly does feels like manipulating the game in a way that's unfair.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, folding out of turn on purpose and when someone's got a really tough spot to let them know that you were the original raiser, but you're not going to call the all-in. Feels very, and if that's something he's doing on purpose, which we don't know for sure, but everyone seems to think so, feels way out of line and like cheating.
Right.
Honestly, Phil Hellmuth in the World Series main event a few years back, when it was three ways, remember, and he like raised and the guy like shoved and the other guy was thinking, and Phil like goes into this whole speech while the other dude's thinking. So there's three players in the hand about how upset he is and how he's clearly going to fold unless he's lying, which he doesn't do really. Mm-hmm. And it made it easier for the first guy to call. Now, I think the guy was calling anyway, probably, but it's unclear. And like, it makes it much easier when you know Phil is folding. I think the other guy had like a flush draw and that's it. So like knowing Phil was folding, you don't have to worry about like getting reshoved on or anything like that. And then the dude got there and knocked the first dude out. And like Phil's speech may have been the reason why the guy got knocked out. And like, that is just not okay.
Right. When there's a third player involved, it's often not okay.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That seems... But I think, like, a lot of stuff is fine, too, that, like, others maybe think is questionable. But, like, I think it's fine to, like, misrepresent your hand and stuff like that. Like, go for it. Please, God, talk about it. Say whatever you want to say. Do whatever you want to do. Like, that's... To me, that's the game.
Right.
That's the interesting part.
We've gotten a little too far.
Yeah.
Towards the robotic poker.
Yeah. Like, you're supposed to be doing all that. You're just not supposed to... There's a line. I feel like it's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And...
A fake misclick is not over the line.
Right. There was this thing... I know I've brought this up before on the show, but we've been doing the show for so long that I'm going to tell this story very quickly again. I was playing Limit Hold'em at Bellagio many years ago, and it was the river, and one guy bet, and the other guy was trying to decide whether he should call or not. He picked up calling chips, lifted them very high, and leaned forward over the line, but only a little bit. Couldn't really tell. And then says, I have two pair.
Oh, yeah, I know this story.
Doesn't actually call or anything. The other dude then says, I have a straight. And the dude just puts the chips back down and folds. Now, that is really close.
That one is getting a little shady.
I'm not really okay with people doing that.
Yeah.
But that said, It is the first dude, the dude who has the straight's fault to not wait till the chips are released. Like, the chips are very much not released.
It's a little shady,
but it's shady.
It probably should be within the rules.
I think it's just barely within the rules, and that's where I start to have a problem with it. Like, to me, that's like just on the side of not okay. I'm okay with him saying I have two pair and not doing that with the chips. I'm okay with him putting the chips up to the line, down on the ground, on the felt, so you can see they're not over the line.
Yeah.
But when it's up like that and you think maybe it's crossed the line, that maybe he's actually called.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's the intention, right? Yeah. You're supposed to think maybe I've called already.
Yeah, that's fair.
I personally, of course, know never to. I 100% of the time wait till the chips hit the felt before I ever, ever, ever reveal my hand, because I would never let something like that happen
right.
to me. I'm all about best practices over here, you know. But someone who's not a pro is a, you know, isn't going to think shit like that can happen, right? They assume they're getting called and that's it, right?
Yeah. Well, there's worse things than angles, and one of the players involved in this hand has done them.
Leon Schukernick.
At least allegedly he's done them.
I don't think it's even alleged.
Matt Kirk.
I think Leon. Well, you tell the story and then we'll talk about it.
I don't know if I remember it perfectly, but essentially he free-rolled Matt Kirk in a high-stakes heads-up match and never paid him, right? Like, he kept borrowing money to play against Matt Kirk and never paid him back.
That is what happened. They were heads-up. I don't even know if they were actually heads-up if they were three ways, but whatever it was. Matt Kirk lent him, like, millions of dollars. Like, I think it was $2 million. It might have been three. And then Schukernick lost that money and then didn't pay him back, but claimed that he was intensely drunk and that they were taking advantage of him. That was their counterclaim, basically.
Right.
That, like, you should not have lent me that money. You shouldn't have been able to keep playing me. Like, you're just, like, stealing from me, basically. Now, is that true? I tend to doubt it based on Matt Kirk doesn't seem to be that guy and doesn't need the money.
Right.
So I believe Matt Kirk is probably the straight shooter of these two guys. Leon Schukernick, I have less I think is less reliable.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know. But right. that is the story, and I tend to believe Matt Kirk.
Yeah, because Leon is not denying that it happened, right? He's just saying that he was too drunk and that he was being taken advantage of. But, like, at a certain point, that's your own fault, right?
Yes.
Like, you're still at the poker table. You should be aware of the type of person you are when you're drunk.
I mean, there are lots of people who are crazy drunk at poker tables, losing money all the time, and they never get that money back. And if you borrow money, you have to owe you owe the money.
By the
borrow.
Way, Leon Schukernick owns a fucking casino. How many people are gambling in his casino against the casino when they are clearly too drunk to be making sound financial decisions, and he's happy to take their money?
That is correct. No, he's playing both sides of this one against the middle and succeeding.
Yeah.
By the way, Leon Schukernick, what's his hand in? What do you put him at in terms of total live earnings?
1.4 million.
It's more. He's actually best live cash is higher than that. He's won 1.8 million in one single solitary cash.
Okay.
It's kind of amazing.
Are casino owners just all horrible?
Yes. I think the answer is probably yes. You're here to take advantage of people. You're basically a vampire. Yes.
There might be some good casino owner out there.
You know,
but
maybe they're nice to their family,
at least,
but, like, they're preying on people, right?
Yeah.
That's the job.
Right.
So probably not. Leon Schukernick came in fourth in the 300K super high roller bowl in 2017 for $1.8 million. He also won the 100K no limit short deck World Series of Poker Europe event for $1.2 million, and that's a bracelet, a Europe bracelet, but a bracelet. Is that a ring? It's something.
No, I think it's a real bracelet.
Yeah, I think it is too.
For those.
Rings are circuit events.
Yeah.
His overall winnings is $4.9 million. Now, he plays all these high rollers.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a loser.
He could be losing money.
I'm sure he's down.
Especially if you count cash games, if he lost millions to Matt Kirk that night alone, which he didn't pay, but there are times when he did have to pay, I assume.
I'm sure he's one of the, you know, he's the Bill Perkins of Czechoslovakia, basically, right? The Czech Republic.
That's not a country. Yeah.
Czech Republic.
Yeah.
But still, like, that's what it feels like.
It does.
Like, they're thrilled to have him at the table. And in fact, I'm pretty sure Federholtz, who is at this table, is pretty thrilled as well.
This is an incredible spot for Federholtz. This is a cash game. It's like a 100-200 game. I don't know much about the other players. We know one is Leon Schukernick, but we know this hand starts with a guy limping under the gun with 6-5 offsuit and another guy over-limping with Jack-8 offsuit. And the guy with 6-5 offsuit getting an incredible price, just folding after limping, by the way. Like, what a deal to be Federholtz in this game, which, by the way, is a German show. This is a German show.
Yeah.
The German commentators are incredible. I have no idea what they're saying. I don't speak any German, but they sound like the nihilists in The Big Lebowski. It's incredible. They're, like, really excitable, but the really excitable version of the nihilists.
Yeah. And actually speaking German, because of course the nihilists speak English.
Right. So we're going to, when we make a video of this, we're going to keep the German.
Oh, yeah.
And just we're not going to hear what they, or if you don't speak German, you're not going to know what they're saying, and that's just too bad.
If you guys are listening to this, you should watch the video that is come out the same day. You know, we do day and date with video and podcast, and like, check it out. It is funny and it's great. They are so, like, I could hear it. I haven't even seen this hand. I know what happens in it, and I hear the commentators as Grant was watching it, and they are a delight just to listen to, like an absolute delight. You have to listen to them.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. We would play some right now, but that's too much work. We're not going to actually do that. That's editing. Come on. If you listen to the show, you know there's very little editing.
People don't believe that sometimes, but really we don't edit.
Oh, my God. Well, we don't prepare.
We don't prepare.
I think they know we don't edit.
We don't audio edit, but we also don't edit for content. Which people might assume that we edit for content, because almost every other podcast does. Maybe literally every other podcast does.
I mean, if you listen to the show for any amount of time, you get pretty... There's points when I'm like, are we keeping this in? You're like, oh, we're keeping it in. That like, you know, that even stays in.
Yeah. Right?
We just keep everything.
That's the joy.
It's all gold, baby.
It's a feature, not a bug.
Exactly.
That's what's going on here.
You get us warts and all.
What?
You get us...
Oh, I thought you were saying a German name, Schwartz and all.
Schwartz and all. Steven Schwartz and all. He's Steven Silverman's counterpart.
So going to start under the gun with Steven Schwartz and all. He's going to limp. Might as well be, because this guy's not going to play the hand. Hey, this was suggested by JQ. I think that's a first timer.
I think so, too. Good job.
JQ suggested on Twitter. We are the Poker Guys on Twitter. Include a link to a video and a timestamp when you suggest.
Yes.
All right. So Schwartz and all under the gun is going to limp 6-5 off. Terrible, whatever.
I mean, awful. But whatever. We're moving on.
We've got Jachtman. What's his first name again?
Jan Peter. That's great.
Jan Peter Jachtman.
Jan Peter Jachtman, get in here right now and clean your room.
Yes, exactly. That's actually being yelled in the background for the entire hand. He's like a 48-year-old man, but that's what's happening.
I mean, you know, if you live with your parents, you live with your parents.
He's got 15,000. I think they're playing in Euro. He's got Jack of Spades, Eight of Clubs. He's going to limp in the cutoff because I guess we're just doing that. This guy actually has a World Series of Poker bracelet in a relatively prestigious event. Not relatively, a very prestigious event.
Yeah.
The 10K PLO back in 2012.
That is correct.
But, you know, maybe he's just messing around in this game, because limping Jack 8 off in the cutoff, even with a limp under the gun, feels like a big mistake.
It seems very odd to do that. If it was Jack 8 suited, I wouldn't say a damn thing about it. I'd be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
If it was Jack 10, I wouldn't say anything. Jack 10 off, even. I'd be like, okay, I'd probably prefer a raise, but whatever. Jack 8 off feels like, what are we? We're not even on the button here. Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
The button does belong to the chosen one. He has 35K. It's going to raise to 800. Of course, I'm talking about Fader Holtz.
Oh.
Who do you think I was talking about?
I thought you were talking about Anakin Skywalker.
Oh.
You were supposed to be the chosen one!
Either you were or you weren't, though. So...
Well, they thought he was the chosen one.
Supposed to be, though. What does that mean?
I don't know. Well, they thought he was. And by the way, I think he was, because the prophecy... Yeah, that's right. We're doing this for...
Oh, boy.
We're doing 30 seconds on this right now. The prophecy is that the chosen one would bring balance to the force. Well, at the time, the Jedi were really ruling the galaxy and the Sith were nothing. When all was said and done, neither were really around anymore. That sounds like balance to me. I think he did bring balance to the force. I think he was the chosen one. Just because he was evil doesn't mean he wasn't the chosen one. By the way, he was very evil. Even if he killed the Emperor at the end and saved his own son, he still killed a bunch of other people who didn't deserve it. He was evil.
Anyway, Fetterholtz. Fetterholtz is the chosen one in this context. Is that like the number one player you would call the chosen one in poker these days? He feels like special and different. Like everybody thinks he's a sub above, as they would say.
A sub above?
That's like the Jersey Mike's motto.
Never heard. Oh, okay, good. Yeah. That was unusual. I don't know. Who else is really in play for that? I mean, there's always Phil Ivey. Phil Ivey has a mystique about him that I would say probably supersedes Federer.
Negreanu's got that.
Not as much anymore. The shine is off, I think, at this point for Negreanu, both because of his personality in the last few years. And also just like he's been losing a lot. Like he just lost 3 straight heads up matches to Phil Hellmuth after losing a big heads up match to Doug Polk. Doug Polk actually made a video about how Negreanu hasn't won a heads up match, meaning when it got to heads up, since the Shark Cage event in any tournament ever. And the last actual tournament he won, not including the Shark Cage, was in 2013, which is just weird. I mean, it's fine. Things happen. He's got a lot of second place finishes.
Yeah.
He's obviously still really, really good, but it's a little weird. So I think the shine is off that donut a little bit, bro.
Yeah, I think Phil Ivey's a good answer. Like, Phil Ivey and Fetterholtz both have that kind of quiet mystique about them, too, which helps with the Chosen One thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, the Chosen One isn't going to be as gregarious as Negreanu, right? It's going to be like a quiet, like, I know I'm the chosen one. I don't need to talk about it type of thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, it feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's still Phil Ivey, actually. I feel like Phil Ivey's always been talked about as the best player in the world by everyone. And he sort of continues to be, even in the face of all the solver action and everything else, where people, when they really talk about who's the best, I guess, at least live player in the world, and they don't just mean No Limit, they mean everything, they always say it's Phil Ivey. Yeah. Everyone always says that, whoever plays. So I guess it's true, and I think I'm going to give it to him.
Right.
He's going to bring balance to poker.
I don't know. I feel like it's Federer. He's got the mystique for me.
Huh.
And I think the nemesis of the Chosen One, who is truly great in his own right, but fights for evil, is Stephen Chidwick.
He just has the look.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
But sure.
Yeah.
Their games are a little too similar, though. You really would want someone who's got a completely polar opposite game, but that's hard to do.
But Federer fights for glory. Chidwick fights only for ambition.
Okay. I mean, sure.
The Chosen
That's
One.
That's not how it works.
The Chosen One.
They both fight for themselves.
Anyway, the Chosen One.
Yeah.
Raises to 800 with King 10 of diamonds on the button. Cool, fine.
He's not even trying to get folds, right? He's like, we're just getting value with this hand. We'll see a flop. I'm on the button. This is good enough. It's fine. Makes sense to me.
Leon, the Chosen One, Shukrnic, is in the big blind. He's got two threes. Three of clubs, three of diamonds. He's going to make the call with 16,000 in front of him. That's fine.
Yep.
Whatever the guy's name under the gun folds.
Tomovich?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He limped 6-5 off. It's 600 to call. There's already 2K in the pot, and there's a guy behind you who's definitely going to call after Leon already called. Why did you limp if you're not going to call?
It's only 600 more.
It doesn't matter.
So dumb.
He folds.
Okay.
What a deal for Federer to be in this freaking game.
Yes, this
and
is
then
amazing.
Yachtman calls.
Yes.
And the pot is 2,700.
Cool.
Excellent. The flop is ace of clubs, five of clubs, three of hearts. Leon!
You got it, Leon!
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're like a backup singer for a song about Leon.
Yeah, by Kings of Leon.
No, too much.
No. Okay.
By Kings of Convenience, in fact.
Is that a band?
Yep.
Okay.
They're very much not a rock band. Anyway, ace 5-3. Ace of clubs, five of clubs, three of hearts.
Mm.
Nobody has anything except for Leon Shukrnic. Federer has king high with backdoor straight draw, not even a backdoor flush draw. Jack 8 off. For Yachtman.
Yeah.
All right, first question I always ask, Leon, first to act, is there a good argument for leading with a set here? Ace 5-3.
There's a little bit of an argument in that, like, we are probably getting called if we lead, but I think there's a better argument for checking because this is exactly the kind of board I'd expect Federer to bet.
What do you mean we're probably getting called? Expand on that.
Oh, I just mean, like, there was a raise, there were two callers, or there was a raise, not just us, there was another caller as well. Oftentimes someone has an ace, so if we bet, we're going to get called. We're going to get some action.
Yeah.
But like, I would think if we check, we're going to get a huge percentage of C bets from Federer, which would supersede this whole point, right? Because now we get money in whether Federer has it or not versus Federer has to have it if we bet, right?
Yeah.
So of course we prefer that. If Federer has ace queen or any ace, really, he's going to call a check raise. That's great. It seems to me this is just a really straightforward check raise spot, most of the time. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right, especially with a wet board, two clubs, some straight cards. Anyway, it does check to Federer, who does bet. We could ask if he should. He has king 10 of diamonds. He has one bad back door. Maybe these guys are just playing so loose that they have such random hands that you can just do it.
I think so. I mean, Leon has the world
from the
big blind. And the other guy apparently has the world too since he has jacket off somehow. So I think this is exactly the kind of board where you're going to get two folds more than enough of the time if you bet small enough, which there's no reason to bet big, right?
Right. And he doesn't. He bets 700 into 2,700.
Right. So this has to work like 21% of the time.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah. And we're going to get called and we're going to hit a king or 10 on the turn and we're still going to have the best hand.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Well, we are going to get called. Called by Leon Shukrnic.
We're definitely not going to fold out Leon Shukrnic.
But he didn't raise, which you wanted him to.
I did.
Tell me why you wanted him to raise.
Well, two reasons. One is that this is a wet enough board for Leon's range. There's two clubs, ace 5-3. Leon could have gut shots here for sure. There's no open enders for him to have. I guess there is. There's 6-4. But he can have clubs also. And he's Leon Shukrnic. He does weird stuff, right?
Yes, he does.
Might he raise ace 4 here? I think he might.
Here's the question for Fedor, though. If Leon raises and Fedor decides he wants to continue in the hand, how can he be sure that he'll get paid if he wins the hand?
This is all just a way to get a shot.
Yeah.
Okay. We're doing that, apparently. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
I want to take a shot.
Yeah, you did. You got it in.
But anyway, you make good points.
There's the second point is, of course, Leon's out of position. So, like, by calling here, we're often, the board's often going to check through on the turn, right?
Yep.
Like, not always, but often. And the times when Federer gives up, which it doesn't matter anyway then, no matter what we do. And the times when Federer has, like, a medium ace or, like, 2 sevens or something like that. And he's like, well, I check and we'll figure out the river. Instead of, like, check raising right now and getting value out of the bad aces that are going to check the turn, right? Also, by the way, a club could come and then an action is killed. I absolutely want to put in a raise right here.
Yeah, I agree. But he calls.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he puts in the raise, the hand's over. But whatever.
Maybe he knows something about Yachtman. Because Yachtman's going to go ahead and bump it up to 3K with the jack eight of nothing.
Why?
That's a great question.
Okay, let's try and figure it out. Yachtman must first believe that Federer's always betting this, which is probably true. So Federer really doesn't have to have it. And by the way, what's Federer even doing with like a medium ace now? He's probably folding, right?
Yeah.
Unless he knows these guys are absolutely bananas.
Which he might, though.
Yeah, he might. He might just feel like he has to call. But I could see him folding like ace-7 here.
Yeah.
You know, like not ace-jack, but ace-7. So you include that plus all the bluffs, which Yachtman wants to fold out all of those too since he has jack-8.
Yep.
Jack-all. He's got nothing. So then it's just a question of can we also fold out Leon? What's Leon calling with? Maybe if you think Leon's raising all his strong hands here, he's got a lot of fives, a lot of threes, and a lot of bad aces, which you're just going to be able to win with at some point.
And maybe some club draws.
Yeah. So I would like to have some kind of blockers. Do we have a club in our hand?
Yes.
That's not what I want to have.
No.
So I'd want to have anti-blockers, I guess, really, not have clubs in my hand. We don't block any of the straight draws or anything like that, so that's good. Sort of. We block ace-jack a little bit. I mean, there's not much
here. We
block
ace-jack.
Yeah.
We block ace-8 also.
Like. I know. Well, ace-jack, though, is more likely to stick around if you raise. I'm saying, but like, at least we don't have clubs and we don't have a 4, 6, or deuce in our hand. That's actually good.
Yes.
I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't make this play right now, but I feel like I at least understand it a little bit, where this is going to work a fair amount of the time. I don't know if it works enough, but it's going to work a fair amount.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just, you got to pick your combos, and this isn't one of them.
I mean, having a club in your hand just makes no sense to do this with then, right? Like,
yeah.
Why?
It's a feel play. I mean, it might just be based on Federer's sizing. 700 into 2,700. He's just like, oh, Federer doesn't have it, and Leon could have a lot of stuff for 700, so it's worth a shot.
But, I mean, has this guy ever played with Federer? There's no way Federer is sizing down when he doesn't have it and sizing
he
up
might
when
be
he
against a table of drunk idiots, if that's what this is.
Maybe you're right. I doubt he's going to be that transparent. If this guy is actually going to pick up on an attack, I doubt it.
Probably not.
I assume Federer knows who this guy is.
Either way, it feels like random spew.
Oh, it 100% is random spew. And it probably not going to work since Leon's got the set of threes.
Right. Federer folds.
Yeah.
All right. What do you do, Leon?
Ah. Well, it's an interesting spot, right? Because our opponent now rates to have one of two kinds of hands. Either like ace-5, almost exactly.
Or 5-5.
Oh, 5-5 is good, too. I guess he could have the last three in his hand have, like, 5-3 or ace-3.
Yeah.
But, like, ace-5 feels like the most obvious hand since he didn't raise pre, right?
Or a club draw.
Yes. The club draw. I guess, again, there's 4-6 also, but the clubs is the most other obvious thing. So, kind of all those hands are probably calling if we put in a raise here, depending on how deep we are, you know? Are we deep enough to be able to put in a raise and get calls from the draws?
I don't know about the draws. Yachtman started with 15K. He's the effective stack. Shukernik only has 1K more than that.
So actually, yeah. So if we raise, we're going to make it like 8, right?
So it's effectively an all-in. The draws might just go with it, which would be good.
Oh, that's fine.
And also, if the draws fold, that's fine.
Yeah. I think we have two options. I think we can call and look to check raise all-in on the turn to charge the draws fully.
Yeah.
Or we can just check raise right now and put in an effective all-in, whether it's actually all-in or not.
It would
not,
actually be a 3-bet, not a check raise.
Okay. Fair. You're right. You're right. Because we called. But whatever, 3-bet all in, and we can make it like 11K. Now it looks like we've got clubs. And maybe the draws call, maybe they don't. That's fine if they don't. And maybe the main hands, maybe we actually fold out the draws and the main hands call, which would be fine. That's
unless,
a fine outcome.
He has a set of fives, of course.
Well, yeah, but whatever. He's always getting it all if he has a set of fives anyway. Like, who cares? So I think we should either check, we should either raise right now or look to check raise all in on the turn. What do you think?
Those sound like reasonable options. I think I like raising right now best. Just like, I don't want scare cards to ruin action against aces up or the lucky 5-3 that we're against. Or
yeah,
maybe he is going to put it all in with clubs. And let's just do that now when like equities are really in our favor.
Yeah, we're like 78% or something. Yeah, also, like, any club, any four, any deuce could kill action. That's actually a fair amount of the deck.
Yeah,
right?
I think we should just go with it.
I think you're probably right. It's like 11 and another six cards. Yeah, it's like seven, like a third of the deck is going to maybe kill action.
Yeah.
That, we don't want that. We should go right now.
Yep. Okay. We don't.
Okay.
We call. It's fine.
Maybe we know Yachman, though, is pretty bluffy, and we want to give him a shot. Yeah. And we're not going to fold on clubs anyway.
In that, if this is all a Yachman-based plan the entire way Leon's playing this flop, it makes plenty of sense.
That's fine, then.
Yeah.
So right. He just calls, and then he just calls again. Okay.
Yeah. So he makes the call.
Yep.
You might have to call a doctor when you hear about the deals on Nitrogen Sports.
You might have to call a freaking horse doctor.
Yeah, because it's going to require more medicine than a human can usually take.
Exactly. Now, and horse doctors, of course, in their black
bags. They have those medicines.
They have much bigger, stronger medicines.
Yeah, suppositories.
Whatever you need.
Yeah, you need special stuff after you hear about the deals, man.
On Nitrogen Sports,
yeah, the
man.
Monthly Poker Guys tournament. There's been an overlay for, what, 3 or 4 years every month in this tournament. It's not expensive to play. There's always an overlay. Let's go make some hay.
We're back in the barns. Olay!
Yeah. Nitrogen Sports.
You're welcome.
Very horse-related advertisement.
It never gets
Nitrogen
old.
Nitrogen asked us to do horse stuff.
Yeah, they
were like, it's getting a little stale. Maybe throw in a horse or two.
Yeah, we need some. And I think they actually use the term horse stuff.
So I'm going to spend about 5.5 minutes describing the synopsis of the film Black Beauty.
Oh,
wow. There's a horse. It's black.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think there's a girl. I don't know.
Have you ever seen the movie The Black Stallion?
No.
Okay, so The Black Stallion is a Disney movie from like when I was a kid, so it's like the 80s. And the first like 15 minutes is done in silence. There's like no word spoken. It's about a little boy who's like on a cruise ship. It goes down. He gets washed ashore. Everyone else dies. His family dies, everything. And it's just...
What a Disney start.
It's like Castaway, except the kid's like 7, you know? And he's screwed, and he befriends this stallion, which is there, and it's like about him like and the stallion becoming like pals, but with no words, and it's amazing. I don't know if the rest of the movie's any good, I don't remember. The first 15 minutes are outstanding Nitrogen Sports.
I think we did it.
Yeah.
They have casino games, they have sports betting. You have to use the link in the description to sign up, or you don't get access to our special deals. Mm.
I think this is a good pitch we can make back to Nitrogen next time we talk to them. So what we're going to do is we're going to start the ad. We'll do a movie synopsis of some sort.
Yeah.
And then we'll end the ad.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Those were not strong movie synopses. Is that how you say synopsis in plural?
Unclear.
Because it's not synopsises.
It could just be synopsis.
That's I hate that when plural is the same as singular.
Oh, you hate that?
Yeah.
You're such a fucking progressive guy. Wow. Congratulations.
You like it?
Virtue signaling everywhere.
You like not knowing how to describe if you're talking about one moose or multiple moose?
I think it's incredible to be like, look, crow. And I'm like, I don't know. I need to look now because I don't know how many there are.
Yeah, I think you can say crows.
It's crow. A murder of crow.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
But people say crows.
Well, people say lots of things, bro.
But people don't say...
People say literally, my head exploded.
Well, people don't say mooses. They say moose.
Yeah. Actually, it's possible it's also crows, but crow was originally the way it was. Crow was both.
Who's old school now? Who cares now about not being progressive in today's society with all of these
I don't know.
Singular plurals?
I'm not sure. The crow? I'm not sure who we're talking about anymore.
Crows are smart, man. They might be thinking about that.
Yeah. Speaking of which...
Yeah.
So dolphins are...
Here we go again.
All right. Maybe we don't have to go down this path.
Probably not.
I mean, I was about to really go down the path, but let's not. Let's get
you
back
believe
to
there will be a dolphin president within 50 years?
You've heard my spiel on that. Yeah. I mean, I don't really believe dolphin president, but if we can get the...
Like Secretary of State.
A dolphin representative of some sort. And I don't mean representing the dolphins. I mean representing a district of humans.
Yeah.
And dolphins, because dolphins will live among us.
And they will have votes?
Of course they'll have votes. Why wouldn't they have votes? They're citizens.
They're citizens
They
now.
Will be.
Okay.
This is a whole conversation to have another time,
this
I guess.
The dolphin thing, we can save it for later. So there's 9,400 in the pot.
Of course there is.
Leon Chukrnic is out of position with a set of threes on the ace 5-3-2 club board. And Yachtsman has got jack 8 just of nothing. He has 0% to win the hand right now.
Boy, Leon Chukrnic is playing this as well as you could play it against Yachtsman's hand here.
Yes, he is.
Like, you can't do any better than this. This is amazing.
The turn should be a little scary for Leon if he's worried at all that Yachtsman actually has reasonable ranges. It is the ace of spades. Mm. So now all of the made hands that Yachtsman was representing are now beating Leon's hand.
Yeah.
Because his ace is up. better Full House now. I guess 5-3 is not, but you're not going to get any more action from 5-3 now.
Right. It's not a great card. Unless Yachman's the kind of guy who's raising a good ace here on the flop.
Yeah.
Which maybe he is because it's a 1 in a 4.
Of the sizing.
But what? How does he have a good ace? He limped.
I don't know. I mean,
what ace does he have?
How does he have jack 8? So yeah. Whatever.
But I mean, he has got ace queen somehow? I don't know how he has that. But anyway, maybe. But it's not a great card, but as Shukrnik, I think we're just resigned to never folding.
It's better than a club, probably.
Exactly. Like, we hope the guy's still on clubs. We figure he's going to rep this card either way. And we're going with it.
Yep.
The end. Easy. All right.
Leon checks, which I think is fine at this point.
Yeah, Leon should check.
I think I very quickly formed a very strong opinion that this is a mandatory check back for Yachman. Like, time to give up. Absolutely time to give up after Leon calls the flop.
Well, you're trying to... The reason to bet is to try and get clubs to fold now when the board pairs.
Yeah, there's only one card to come. I mean, like, clubs are so much more likely to take aggressive actions on the flop than a lot of other hands, you would think.
That's true, but I wonder if that's true for Leon Shukrnik or if he's doing a lot of calling with his draws.
Maybe, but okay, I'm going to spoil it and say Yachman does bet. He bets 3K into 9,400, so forget about all the things you just said.
Yep, that's the thing. Like, I don't understand why he would do this. It feels like it's now you have to, there's 9,200 effective at this point. The pot has 9,400 in it. It's shove or fold. Shove to get the clubs to fold, or effectively shove. Bet 7,000.
Right.
You can bet 7,000 and fold, actually. Maybe that's better.
Bet an amount that will actually fold out clubs.
Right. Like betting 3,000, Leon Shukrnik is now getting 4-1. He is calling with clubs. He should call with clubs.
It feels like Yachman thinks that Leon just doesn't believe him on the flop and has like a 5 and now is going to suddenly believe him and fold the 5.
This is the wrong guy to do this against, too. Shukrnik is not known for his tight folds.
No.
Like, why are we attacking Shukrnik's range here? This just seems like a mistake.
I feel
this sizing is a huge mistake.
Obviously, everything Yachman has done so far in the hand has been a mistake.
Right. At least the raise on the flop, I can justify. That's the only thing I can justify.
You can justify it. I think checking is clearly the best play here. I think it's very clear. I think second best would be betting bigger.
Yeah.
This is not good.
I think you're probably right that giving up is probably the best play. Betting big, though, is not far down for me as being a really quality second best play that I would be fine with. Because now we're committing to it. Okay, we'll make him make the tough decision. We'll bet 7,000. We'll leave 2,200 back that we will not put in, no matter what. If Shukrnik doesn't fold, we get to keep this 2,200, and we give up. I think that's a pretty good play too. I don't even know which one I feel. Why do you feel a check is so much better than betting big here?
I am concerned about Leon having an ace.
Well, that is a good point.
I think he has plenty of aces in his range. I think they're more likely than clubs based on how he's played the hand so far.
Mm. Right, that's actually a really good point. Right, because clubs are going to take an aggressive action and an ace isn't. And now an ace feels completely married to the
flop. A one pair ace is almost never taking an aggressive action on the flop, right. And clubs are often doing it.
Yeah, and now one pair aces clearly aren't folding.
Yeah.
Like, because now they're not. Now they're trip pair aces.
Yes. Trip pair aces, yeah.
That's a really good point, and that makes me want to check too now that you say that. That's well articulated.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But that's not what happens. Yachman bets 3K. Is it time just to put the money in, is Leon? 3's full. The board got a little scarier. Maybe we're worried about game 3 disastering ourselves.
I mean, is Yachman folding trip aces for 6,200 more?
Doesn't have that much trip aces.
Well, if he doesn't have that much trip aces, then there's not a lot of value in check raising.
No, right? Because we don't want to charge the clubs anymore. We want the clubs to get there.
Right, exactly. If the board didn't pair, I'd like a check raise here.
Yeah.
But the board pairing makes me want to now say, well, bluff some more, buddy. Let's keep doing this bluffing thing. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I think we should just call. And at this point, we're representing like a sticky 5 or a weak ace and maybe giving him some hope that a weak ace will fold on the river.
I mean, I don't know if he'd really think that, but maybe. And whatever.
I think calling has to be better than raising at this point. Unless Yachman's a guy who will show up with ace queen here for... which would be very rare for many reasons. One, he limped pre-flop, and then he didn't 3-bet when he got the raise from Federer on the button, and then he raised the flop.
We're probably getting it all against ace-queen anyway. Even if a club comes and we check, ace-queen might go for it.
Yeah.
Trying to get value out of the last ace, you know?
But it's just so unlikely that it...
Yeah, I agree. He's got a lot of medium aces. I think the call is better.
I don't
think
he has a lot of medium aces. He raised the flop.
God, you're right. He just doesn't... Yeah, so you're right. He's got ace-5, 5-5, ace-3.
Three. He shouldn't have 5-3 anymore.
Clubs, 4-6. Maybe he can have...
He can have a straight, too.
He can also have 7-6. Yeah, he can have a straight. He can have 7-6, which is the gutter.
Yeah, we want to let all of these things try to get there.
Maybe deuces and fours. Yeah, we're happy. We're not afraid of anything at this point. I guess if the five pairs, we could be unhappy, but it doesn't actually change
our
situation.
It shouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Like, he shouldn't have a lone five.
Right. You never really know with these guys. But yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, I'm completely on board with check calling here.
Yeah, seems like the right play.
Good. Leon, we should check call and say, like, go for it, buddy. Whatever comes.
That's what Leon does.
Good.
He check calls. Good job, Leon Shukernick. Pots 15,400. Yachtman is the effective stack with 9,200 remaining. What a spot to be in with Jack 8 off and no hope. The river is the 9 of spades. Clubs miss. It doesn't really affect the board in any way.
Oh, my God. I just realized why Yachtman bet 3K on the turn. He's trying to bet a small amount on the turn so he can make a bigger bet on the river to scare off. So he can, like, shove the river for 9,200. And it's like, if he bets 6K on the turn or something, 7K... Now he's going to 5,000 back.
Yeah.
And he's going to feel like if he gets called, he's got no fold equity. But now he thinks he still has fold equity. So his plan is going to be to shove here a lot, I think.
That's well, I guess we'll never know.
Why?
Because Leon Shukernick's going to lead for 6K on this nine of spades.
I'm so disappointed in this play.
Because yeah.
Leon's been playing Yachtman just right.
He has.
And now he's completely blown it.
All right. Give me a bullet point list of all of the problems you have with this lead.
Well, Yachtman has one of two kinds of hands at this point, right? This is what we established very clearly just 2 minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
He's either got basically us beat
right.
with 5-5 or ace-5,
mm-hmm.
or he's got a draw.
Yep.
The draws are folding. 5-5 and ace-5 are shoving.
Yep.
And getting it all. What does this lead accomplish except scare out the bluffs?
Right, because we are going to give him money if he has the better hands than us anyway. Yeah. Our hand is too good to fold.
Right,
if we check and he moves in, we're just calling.
1,000,000%.
But we give up getting money from the draws by leading.
Right, we take away his ability to get money from us by leading here. And we lead 6,000. Yachtman only has 9,200 left. Like, there's no play for him to make here with two clubs.
Or is there? Well, we don't know because he doesn't have two clubs. But
See?
With Jack 8 of nothing, Yachtman moves in.
Yeah. It's the play.
This is the play. But
I mean, it looks strong.
This is not what you should teach your poker playing children to do. This is not the play that you want to make. 9,200 into the casino owner.
yeah.
It's 3,200 to call. The pot's about 30,000 for Leon Shukernick. It's gonna be hard to find a fold with any of his range.
Well, Yachtman's gonna need Shukernick to have play clubs like this.
Oh, well, then it's good that Yachtman doesn't have any clubs in his hand.
Oh, wait.
He's got the 8 of clubs
in his hand. At least he only has one club in his hand?
It's better than two.
Yep. This is definitely the wrong hand to make this play with because you would need to not have any clubs in your hand, too, I think, to make this play. Or you need to know Leon very, very, very well and believe in you. That you've seen him lead a lot here with missed draws. That he plays missed draws passively, and then when he misses on the river, takes a shot out of nowhere into the aggressor. If you've seen him do that a lot, that's the only way you could even consider justifying this play.
I think in order to make the play to this extent...
This is the play.
Where we're giving him 11-1, right?
As a bluff.
That's more the play than most of the plays are.
Yeah.
Right, to give him 11-1. We have to have everything line up perfectly to make it actually make sense, right? We have to have the correct opponent, not the casino owner. That's step one. Step two, we have to have the right hand, the right anti-blockers or blockers. We do not have that.
Right.
Right? And the situation has to be stark enough. The hands have to be defined enough, and the ranges have to be defined enough that it actually really makes sense that we have the nutted hands and the other guy really can't that often. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case here either.
Do you think Yachtman thinks he can get Leon to fold an ace? Because that must be what he's thinking, right? Either Leon's going to fold clubs or Leon's just going to fold his trip aces.
That's what he's thinking, but I don't think he's correct.
I mean, Leon calls how quickly?
The camera doesn't catch it.
No camera could. Yeah. That's how fast it was.
Yeah.
It's within frames.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if he called that quickly with threes full, which is one pip worse than ace king, right?
Yeah.
There's four deuce is in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's a straight.
So it's two pips better than ace-king. But effectively, he's going to call probably with trip aces as well for 3,200 quickly.
I mean,
because he's a casino owner.
You're the casino owner. You're getting 11-1.
You don't care anyway.
Yeah.
You steal money from people. You're rich, and none of this. This is small amounts to you.
Yachman has to believe that Leon would play clubs like this, and Leon's a strange player, so maybe he would play
clubs like this
sometimes. Maybe he would. But you have to be really sure that he would.
Yeah.
And then, like, what percentage of that of his range does that even make up, even if he would play clubs like that, especially when we have the 8 of clubs in our hand?
Right.
It's a small percentage.
It's this feels like the wrong play at the wrong time against the wrong opponent.
Yep. This is the play, but it's the wrong time for the play.
Yep. You got the wrong hand to do it with. You got the wrong opponent to do it with. The board has not really come together for you in the ways that you would want. I would think if a club came and Leon suddenly led, that wouldn't be good either. At least we have a club in our hand if we decide to make it. Like, well,
we've
got clubs.
It's better to have the club then. But
yeah, then it's more justifiable, at least. Maybe we can fold out trip aces sometimes. I don't think Leon's going to fold anyway. I just don't think he's that guy. But, you know, that's it. This seems like really bad.
He went for it.
Yeah. So that's why. So he bet 3K on the turn, though, I think, so he could shove the river, and he just decided to shove the river anyway.
Do you think it's possible, this might be Occam's razor, that he did not see that Leon bet? He thought it was checked to him, and he went all in because that was his plan.
Wow. I mean, you've seen the video and I haven't. So
I mean, I could try to look at it.
Go ahead and look at it right now. Do I think it's possible? I doubt it highly. I mean, it's a pretty obvious usually when people bet. The dealer usually acts in a particular way when people bet. It isn't like, you know, Yachman's in position. He's waiting for Leon to act. Leon's got a check.
Yeah, he's looking right at him.
Yeah, he sees it.
He sees it, and he moves in. He's trying to look. Yeah, when he gets called, he just does the hand up in the air.
How could I get called? This is crazy.
I can't believe that this guy played so bad against me and took all my money.
Look, Yachman, I appreciate that you're obviously a listener of the show, and we appreciate that you are trying to do the play, because the play is mythical, right? It's the Minotaur.
I can see how in the quest to do the play, there could be a lot of missteps.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. It's so hard to do the play.
The thing is, if you try to seek the play, you see it in too many places.
Yeah.
As you like to say, if you're a hammer, everything's a nail, right?
Indeed.
So if you're the play guy, everything's a time to do the play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is not the time to do the play.
I don't think the play is the kind of thing, like in poker, one of the things that, when I started to get better at No Limit, one of the things I found was I was asking myself almost every decision, should I raise here? Which I didn't used to think. It was like, I just assumed it was like call, fold, and once in a while I'll raise. Like, I started thinking, is this a good time to raise? And like, just open up my mind to like more possibilities and more plays. But if you're doing this as the play, then you're always asking yourself, should I do the play here?
Yeah.
Should I do the play here? The answer is you should almost never do the play.
The play is almost never justified.
It's like Bigfoot. You know, it's rarely seen in nature by man. And so you have to be very, very particular about when you're going to bring that particular 12-gauge shotgun out and fire it. And the answer is possibly you should never do it in your whole life, and maybe you're more profitable than trying to do it. But it sure is cool.
Yes.
But it sure is neat as hell.
Yeah, it really is more neat when it makes more sense, right? Like, this was not a good time to do it.
If Sam...
Greenwood,
that hand against Stephen Chidwick, where... This is what started one of the hands that started the discussion of the play, because Chidwick, as a bluff, Greenwood checked. He made the nut flush on the river and checked. And Chidwick went all in but for one chip, like one anti-chip, basically, like bet more than the pot or something like that. And Greenwood, with the nuts, check raised all in, and Chidwick had to fold.
Right.
But like, if Sam Greenwood could have had just like the ace of hearts in that hand and done the play there and gotten the fold, that would have been one of the all-time greatest things ever.
Yes, it would have.
But of course, he's not going to do that, because Chidwick is going to call with any made hand there.
Right.
for one ante, right?
Yeah, Chidwick happened to be bluffing. He didn't have to be, based on the action.
He could have had a lot of things.
Yeah.
He was repping very strong the whole way.
Yeah.
He just didn't have it, and Sam made the nuts.
Yep. The play is fun. The play is fancy, but sometimes the play hurts.
The play is mostly fantasy and should be more a thing we discuss than try, like the three-point shot in basketball.
Or elves.
Or elves. Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic, and I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make it.